Now, prostate cancer is the commonest major cancer in UK men and the second commonest cause of cancer deaths, with 47,000 new registrations and 11,000 deaths each year. CHAPS is a registered charity which aims to raise awareness and support the development of new health services directly targeted at men's needs to enable them to take care of their own health and well-being. And joining me now from CHAPS is Clinical Director Chris Booth. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon now.
Yes, afternoon. Yes, you've had a bit of a rotten journey into Phoenix, haven't you?
Made it in time.
Yes, well done, well done. So tell me a bit about yourself first, Chris. How did you first become involved with the charity?
Well, by profession, I was a consultant urological surgeon working in Colchester. We wanted to raise money for our department. Prostate cancer is a very important problem that we deal with all the time. Yeah. So we set up this charity called CHAPS, which originally stood for Colchester Has Active Prostate Support. You have to have an acronym
and
a name.
Absolutely, it is a good one too, yeah.
So that ran along from 2000 for a number of years. I subsequently left the NHS, and at the same sort of time we realized that there were so many male health problems that we needed something with a much, much wider view rather than just solely a prostate cancer charity. So we widened our brief to look at all male health disorders, and so many of them are linked together that it makes sense. As urologists, we probably deal with about half of the things that either bother men or indeed knock them off prematurely.
Right, okay.
So that's how it all started.
Okay, so what now are the main aims of CHAPS?
We want to raise awareness of men's health problems. Large numbers of men really don't know anything about their prostates at all, don't know where it is, don't know what it does, and don't know why it is a potential danger to them.
Right.
Also, we need to alert men to things like heart disease, skin cancers, which are becoming much, much more common, and their dangers. And most of these things can be picked up early at a curable stage,
yes,
providing you know what to look for in the first place.
Yes.
So awareness is key. And on top of that, we run men's health events, really, if you like, to highlight what we're doing.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll come on to those a bit later. I know you've got some coming up in the near future. But you're here today mainly to talk about prostate cancer, which, as I've said, is the commonest major cancer in UK men, with 11,000 deaths each year and probably many of those unnecessary. How can we reduce that figure?
Well, I think you've used an important word there, unnecessary. Mm. If you catch prostate cancer early and treat it radically, then you can cure it.
Mm-hmm.
Once the cancer has spread outside the prostate gland, though, you're basically fighting a losing battle.
Right.
We can control prostate cancer and drive it into remission, mm-hmm, in the vast majority of men using drugs. Up to now, most of the time, these drugs have been hormone-based, and they change the body's hormonal mixture, because prostate cancer won't grow unless it gets male sex hormone, testosterone.
Okay.
If you can deprive it of testosterone, it will go into remission for a period of years, on average about 3.
Okay.
What has happened more recently, though, is we've learned how to use chemotherapy. Traditionally, it was used as a last resort when hormones had failed, but we now know that if we use chemotherapy at a much earlier stage of the disease, very often in combination with hormones, then we can arrest the growth of the cancer for much longer. And we're looking at remission periods of typically 7 years,
right? Yeah.
Which is a big advance.
Big advancement, yeah.
The trouble is, these drugs are expensive. They have side effects, and we can avoid all of that if, as I say, we can catch the cancer early.
Sure. Okay. Well, maybe we ought to look into identifying sort of signs and symptoms, but maybe the place to start is, can you tell us what the prostate gland does?
Yeah. The prostate sits immediately below the bladder at the very bottom of the pelvis. It sits below the bladder and immediately in front of the rectum.
Yeah.
The pipe that carries urine out of the bladder runs immediately right through the center of the prostate, and then out through the muscles in the pelvic floor and down into the penis, or willy, as we professionals
right,
call it.
Why not? Yep.
And what it does, it produces about 90% of the volume of semen that is ejaculated by a man. About 10% is sperm, but 90% is fluid from the prostate gland, and this fluid is there to feed the sperm with fructose. It contains hormones which help the sperm swim, get up the fallopian tubes, and eventually fertilize an egg.
Okay. So it controls the flow of urine, really, does it?
Well, it's not principally designed to control the flow of urine.
But it can affect it.
But because of where it is anatomically, if something starts going wrong in the prostate, then the pipe going through the prostate gets blocked.
Okay, so what about the possible signs and symptoms of prostate cancer then?
Well, the interesting thing about prostate cancer is when it's at a curable stage, with small cancers within the gland, it doesn't usually cause any symptoms at all.
Right.
If you do get symptoms, it's much more likely, as a middle-aged or elderly man, that these symptoms are due to benign, non-cancerous growth of the prostate, which happens in most men to some degree past the age of 40.
Yeah.
Certainly by the age of 65, half of all men will have at least one symptom attributable to growth of the prostate.
Okay.
If you imagine that this is a pipe going through the prostate and it starts to get blocked, it's rather similar to what happens to the full pipe on your gutter. If it gets blocked up with leaves, it takes the urine longer to flow through. The flow is poor, and when you think you've finished passing urine, then you very often get a dribble afterwards, which stains your trousers and pants.
Sure, yeah.
So it affects the flow. But as well as affecting the flow of urine, the obstruction affects the control mechanism of the bladder. And very often, you have to pass urine a lot more frequently. You may have to go urgently so that you can't hang around. If you can't hang around long enough, you can wet yourself. Mm-hmm. And if frequency occurs at night, you're going to have to start getting up more than once a night. And very often, that is the thing that drives men to us. They're getting up three or four times a night and having their sleep badly interrupted.
Yeah. Well, it's all very embarrassing, this, isn't it? But it's refreshing to talk about it openly, and I think it's good that we do that now. And, of course, it should be said that if you suffer with any of those symptoms, it doesn't necessarily mean you have prostate cancer. You could have an enlarged prostate gland, which is kind of, I think you're kind of saying that a lot of men suffer with that.
It's almost a natural consequence of aging,
Yeah, but there's a very simple test that can determine whether you may be affected by prostate cancer, isn't there?
Yeah. This is called PSA, stands for prostate-specific antigen.
Right.
It's a simple blood test. If you're seeing your own doctor and having the test, he will usually put a finger into your tail end to feel the prostate, which is immediately in front of the rectum. That may pick up cancer, but usually it just tells you roughly what the size of the prostate is, and as it grows bigger, it often causes obstruction and hence the urinary symptoms we've mentioned. Prostate cancer, if it's causing symptoms, is usually large and has got outside the prostate. It can cause the same symptoms, but it can also cause bleeding in the urine or bleeding into the semen.
Right.
Okay.
This blood test, this PSA test, it is a blood test, isn't it? Let's say, I've been called up for a sort of MOT at my GP's before now and been put in for a blood test. Is that one of the tests they would routinely carry out on that sort of occasion?
Well, no. Right. I think that I'm a urologist, so perhaps I'm biased, but I think that they should.
Right.
GPs work to something called the Prostate Cancer Risk Management Program, or they should.
Yeah.
And that specifically advises GPs not to bring up the subject of prostate cancer proactively, which I think is wrong policy.
Sounds very wrong.
Because if we want to get this early, we've got to test men who don't have any symptoms. And really, I think testing should start from the 40s onwards. There's enough evidence in the scientific literature now to show that you can get a baseline PSA in your 40s, and it will help predict whether you're going to be more or less at risk of prostate cancer as you get older.
Right. So I take it then there's no screening program for prostate cancer in the same way, for example, as breast cancer is screened?
No, not at all. The reasons for this have been, at least the historical reasons for this, have been that the harms, anxieties and uncertainties of both investigating for prostate cancer and also treating prostate cancer outweigh the benefits. The benefit, obviously, is that if you get it early, you can cure it and it will save your life, potentially. The harms are that in order to achieve a diagnosis, you have to do a biopsy of the prostate, and historically this has been done by putting an ultrasound probe into the rectum and then firing a needle into the prostate about a dozen times. And even though we use antibiotics, men frequently get infections after this, and occasionally the infections are severe and will hospitalize you, and there have even been deaths.
Really?
It's logical when you think about it. If you're going to take a blood sample, you first of all do not dip the needle into feces. So the rectum is contaminated.
I see, yeah.
What has changed, though, in most good cancer units now is that instead of having a biopsy as a first step after you've had an abnormal blood test, an MRI scan is done. And if a tumor is seen on the MRI scan, then you know exactly where it is, and you can alter your biopsy technique to ensure that you hit the tumor and get representative tissue from it.
I imagine an MRI scan is a lot more expensive than the other way of testing, is it?
Well, an MRI scan is not a cheap test, certainly. Yeah. It costs hundreds of pounds. But then, on the other hand, it's much cheaper doing that than doing a biopsy. And if you can look at the prostate and see that although the PSA blood test is abnormally raised, there's no abnormality in the prostate other than benign enlargement, then you can save, we reckon, about 25% of men with raised PSAs from having unnecessary biopsies.
Well, yeah.
So that's where you make your saving.
Yeah, well, the screening to me sounds like it's vital, really. Is there any sort of campaign going on to get this changed, to get screening in place?
Prostate Cancer UK, which is the biggest charity in the country which is involved in this area, campaigns to raise awareness. At the moment, they haven't actually, to my mind, come off the fence and advocated going on then and having a national screening program. The Graham Fulford Foundation, based in Warwick, over the years, they've tested about 45,000 men, and I know that they have picked up over 1,000 cancers, and they do screening events all over the country. When CHAPS does an event, which we do around Essex and South Suffolk, we similarly screen for prostate cancer, but our numbers are smaller.
Yes,
I mean, we will check over several hundred men a year.
Right. And do you get a lot of men attending these events? What's the take-up like?
It varies between about 70, and our second year at Colchester, for instance, we had over 300 men.
Wow, that's good. Yeah.
We worked our socks off that day.
And men are notoriously reluctant to get these things checked out, aren't they? How can we change that?
Well, we go on advertising what we do. We try and engage with all men's organizations, Rotary, Masons, Probus, Lions, other local clubs, and we go and talk to them. We provide literature to them, and quite often now these clubs are proactively looking at the health of their own members, and they will fund our charity to put on an event. And we check their own members, and the Lions, for instance, in Clacton, and Rotary in Clacton, and the Fellowship for the Sick in Harwich, they're up to the general public as well. So I think this is a really, really good local use of charitable funds.
Absolutely. And you're doing some wonderful work there. And you've got some events coming up in the near future, haven't you? There's your Men's Health Day at the Marconi Social Club in Chelmsford on the 3rd of August. And it's not just about prostate cancer screening, is it?
No. We screen for heart disease, blood pressure and so on. We're doing prostate cancer screening, as you say. We're doing diabetes screening and aortic aneurysm screening with an ultrasound scanner.
Right.
An aortic aneurysm, this means basically a blowout of the big blood vessel that carries arterial blood from the heart down through the chest and into the abdomen and then onto the legs. And bursting aneurysms kill between 5,000 and 6,000 men a year. So it's important to spot the aneurysms before they get to that stage and then replace them, which can in fact now be done by keyhole surgery with only a day or two in hospital.
Wow, amazing. I mean, that was the thing that took my dad 20 years ago. And I don't know, he was 80 anyway. He may have been a bit too old for that sort of treatment.
We will operate on elderly men. In Ipswich last year, for instance, we picked up a man over the age of 80 who had an aneurysm, and it was dealt with successfully within a couple of weeks.
How fantastic. That's amazing. Okay, that's not the only event you've got coming up either, is it? You're in September, you're at Harwich and Parkston FC on the 29th of September at Southend United FC, the 3rd of November at Ipswich Town FC, and 2nd of December, Clacton CVST. I'm not sure what a CVST
is. Clacton, it's the voluntary services.
Oh, okay.
It's community voluntary services tendering.
Okay.
On the Tendring Peninsula.
So you're picking venues where you're likely to attract a lot of males, which is brilliant as well. Yeah. So what actually happens on the day if someone just turns up and they say, right, you know, I'd like to be screened? What happens? Who sees them?
Well, we can either pre-book men.
Right.
Or men can turn up in the morning on the day. We start testing at 10 o'clock, so men can come along from 9:30 and start registering. And we find out what men want, what they want to have. For instance, if you've already got heart disease and you're under treatment, then we wouldn't screen for heart disease. If you're already being treated for a prostate problem, then we wouldn't screen for that. So really, we want men who are not on treatment for anything, but want to make sure that they haven't got something underlying that they're not aware of.
Sure. Well, I think it's fantastic, the work you're doing. How do you actually get funding? How is CHAPS funded?
Well, as I've said, we often hope to get clubs like Rotary and so on to sponsor an event.
Right.
In fact, in Brentwood, we don't have an event, but I believe that the Brentwood Rotary Clubs are interested, and I know a local urologist here, Pete Asher, who will be happy to set up a local steering committee. So that's something that we're going to look at for next year.
Yeah.
We get funds by the usual sort of charitable methods, running dances, running quizzes, golf days, and we apply for grants.
From government, is that, or from other?
We haven't from the government. So far we've applied to local charities. For instance, in Colchester there's a brilliant charity called Catalyst, and they gave us the money to buy our own ultrasound scanner.
Wow.
So that we were not always begging and borrowing to get scanners to events.
Fantastic. Tell us about your supporter wall.
Oh, the supporter wall. Well, for a mere £100, companies, or indeed individuals, but companies really, can buy a brick in the wall. So we'll put their company logo onto the first page of our website, and that logo will have a hyperlink to their own website. So it's a cheap way of donating to the charity. £100 isn't very much for a charity, for a company, but lots of £100 for us does make a big difference.
Absolutely. Do you need help from ordinary people, sort of volunteers, that kind of thing?
Well, we set up a local steering committee to run each event. We try and get a local urologist or another doctor involved. Local private hospitals, for instance, are frequently helpful in this respect and funders. Local support from the NHS hospitals as well, and each local area, if you like, they will know the local people that they can go to and contact. So it's very much a local thing.
Oh, I see.
And then money garnered by that local committee, we will keep and use it for the local event. So it's a kind of community resilience procedure, really.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so if anyone would like some more information on men's health and prostate cancer, where can they go? Would your website be a good place to start?
The website's good. I think it's a good website. There's a lot of information on men's health there, but it does summarize previous events and future events, and that's all the W's, chaps.uk.com.
Right, lovely.
And you can book into events through the website as well.
Okay. Is there a number to call for chaps at all?
Yeah, we have two helplines, 01206. 321253 or 07734 747 854.
Wonderful. That's Chris Booth from Chaps. Chris, thank you so much for coming and telling us all about that. If you do manage to get something set up in Brentwood, perhaps you could come back again another time and let us know all about it.
We certainly will, and we will hope that you will plug it for us.
Oh, definitely. If you did miss any of that, it will all be up on our website later today. You'll be able to listen back to this interview, and we'll put some information on there about how you can contact Chaps and get involved in one of these men's screening days. Thanks again, Chris. That's great.
Thank you, Bob.